It's just like the song says, God uses those things to remind us of what we have in Him. Can't let that stuff get under your skin. But that's a whole nother sermon. We'll do that for another time. Hey, we're going to go ahead and dismiss the kids. Let me pray over you before you leave, children. Father, thank you for our blessed children. What a gift they are. Thank you for their smiles. We thank you for the joy that they bring into our life. We even thank you for the trials they bring into our life because it helps us to become more like you. We ask your hand to be upon them. Lord, as they go to their class, I pray that your word would settle deep into their hearts and they would become true men and women of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. See you, kids. We love you. Patrick, you're not a kid. Oh, sorry. Where are all the adults going? No, just kidding. You guys use this as an excuse to split, right? We did the music, now we can leave. Huh? Well, this morning we're going to start a brand new series that I've titled Reliance. It's a matter of trust, and it's all about trusting God in all things in our life. And I believe it's a very timely series because in case you haven't noticed, we live in some pretty trying times right now, some pretty uncertain times. At this moment, the global economy is kind of in an upheaval. There's a lot of talk going on about nations that are on the verge of insolvency. In the United States, our economy is still struggling, and our unemployment rate is higher than it should be. Our national debt is completely out of control, and our future obligations as a nation are unsustainable, and yet nobody will do anything about it. And the federal government is writing checks on taxes that our children and our grandchildren are going to be paying decades from now. The state of California, like every other state almost in the union, is suffering from huge deficits as well, spending more money each day than what it takes in, and unless meaningful reform takes place, many are saying the most productive state of the union could go bankrupt. To say that tensions in the Middle East are on edge is an understatement. It's like a powder keg, ready to blow at any moment. And Iran is bent on obtaining nuclear capabilities. And many experts believe that it's only a matter of time before Israel goes in and strikes militarily with full force. We've become painfully aware that radical Muslims who view us as infidels want us nothing more than to be wiped off the face of the earth. Tensions in Korea are at a heightening rate as this crazy new young leader, is rattling his sword and threatening nuclear strike against the United States and against our allies. And if all that's not enough, my Michigan Wolverines lost to Louisville in the national championship game on Monday night. What are you laughing at? I'm hurt. So tell me, have I successfully depressed you yet? It's not my intention. But these are some facts. These are some hard realities that we need to face. I'm trying to point out to you how essential it is to fully trust God now more than any other time in our life or our history. Because the truth of the matter is, regardless of what is happening in this world, we as Christ followers got to remember this one thing. And it is that God is in control and we must learn to trust Him. Amen. Now, I'm not just referring to trusting God in world events and issues, wars and rumors of wars, national insolvency, state insolvency, and the like. I'm talking today about more personal issues that happen throughout our life. Trusting God when maybe things aren't going the way that you had planned, or things that aren't turning out the way that you had desired. When you or someone in your family or somebody who you love dearly is facing insurmountable circumstances. When crisis hits, and you're wondering just how much longer you can hold on. Or maybe even if God might be leading you to do something that on the surface seems frightening, might even seem a bit risky to you. This is when we must rely on God, and we must stand upon the truth found in this scripture, which this whole series is based upon, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And so this morning, I want to get into this part about not leaning on your own understanding and trusting God through it all. And I want to start by asking you, how many of you have ever been accused of or fully know that you've engaged in selective hearing? We have so many people who don't tell the truth in this church. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for not raising your hand. You know what it is? It's when we hear the... What's that? Did somebody... Oh, you didn't hear me. They didn't hear me. Okay. Selective hearing. There you go. You know, it's when you hear the good parts and the not so good parts, you just act like never happened. Kind of goes in one ear and out the other. A good example of this would be you go to one of your kids and you say, honey, why don't you go clean your room? And when you're done, we'll all go down to Scoops and we'll have some ice cream. And a half hour goes by and your child comes in. They go, Dad, Mom, why aren't we going to Scoops? And so you get up and you look at the room and it hasn't been touched. They heard the first part that let's all go to Scoops for some ice cream, but they chose to not listen to the part, but first you need to clean up your room. We are all guilty of selective hearing at times, and my wife reminds me of this all the time. Likewise, we are often guilty of doing this with the Scriptures. I call it selective reading. Being selective about the parts of the Scriptures that we choose to believe, that we choose to embrace, and then the little parts that aren't so pleasing to us, we choose to ignore. Here's some examples. In John 10:10, we embrace the part about, I have come to give you abundant life. But we don't do well with the part in Philippians 3:10, which says, talks about the fellowship of his suffering. In Philippians 4:19, we understand and we believe that God will supply all of our need, but we don't necessarily embrace Ephesians 4:28 when it talks about working so that we might have something to share with those in need. In 1 John 3:16, we are thankful about Jesus coming and laying down his life for us, but we have a hard time about the truth about how we should lay down our lives for our brothers. So our human nature is to be selective about the things that we hear, selective in believing what we read and what we choose not to believe. And therefore, this affects our reactions. It affects how we live our life, particularly in the life of a believer. And the reason I bring this up is because as Christians, we regularly engage in another piecemeal approach to God that I've called selective trust. Meaning that we trust God in some things, but we are unable to trust Him fully in others. We believe that God still heals the sick, and we pray for others. But when it comes down to us getting sick, we wonder if He can do the same thing for us in our time of need. We believe and trust that God will supply all of our needs. Yet when we sit down to pay our bills at the beginning of a month, the anxiety can sometimes overwhelm us, and our concern for staying afloat until next payday can dominate our every thought, and we lose that trust and confidence in God. We know and trust that God has done a work in our life through salvation, through the forgiving of our sins. But we have a difficult time believing that we are capable of forgiving those who have hurt us deeply in our lifetime. And we can't seem to trust God to be our defender and to deal justly with those who have done us wrong. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to give us the ability to live a victorious Christian life. And we see it lived out in the lives of others, but yet we doubt whether that same Holy Spirit has the ability to help us to overcome our deepest and darkest strongholds and besetting sin that we struggle with on a daily basis. This cannot be our outlook, Bethel Assembly. It cannot. So my goal throughout this series is to get you to fully and not selectively trust God, so that all of us will be able to live out that scripture that this thing is based upon. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. How many of you like straight paths? I love straight paths. You know, the word trust is defined by Webster as the reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, and surety of a person or a thing. It's a confident expectation of something. And certainly our God has integrity, and He has strength, and He has ability, and He has surety that we can rely on as His children. But the breakdown occurs in our inability to maintain that confident expectation. I love a confident expectation from men and women of God. You see, trusting God is knowing that He not only has the ability to deliver on every promise found in His Word, but that you as a child of God believe that in fact He will deliver. It even goes further than that, in that the way God chooses to answer or in the way God chooses to deliver you from whatever situation you're in, it may not be the way that you envision. That's the story of my life. God has done some crazy things that I would have never conjured up in my head. But yet, when it doesn't go the way that you thought it should, you still trust God that His solution was done for your benefit. And you always see in the long run that it clearly was. It's taking it from a theory that you somewhat understand to a total assurance that my God has my best interest in mind. Believing that He is working on the scenes on your behalf, making those paths straight, clearing those roads that have roadblocks on them, and that the end result will ultimately bring you exactly what He knows you need. Not necessarily what you think you need, but what God knows you need. How many of you know He knows a whole lot more than you do? How many of you are thankful for unanswered prayers? Oh man, let me tell you. I once, before I met my lovely wife, was in a relationship with a girl, and I prayed that God would bring us together in holy matrimony. Oh, thank you, Jesus. My life would have been a mess, but that was before I was a believer. And I thought she was the one. And oh, I can't even imagine how my life would have turned out had God answered that prayer. So thank you, Lord. You know, I have come to realize that there is one major element that is essential to fully trusting God. And yet it tends to be a very, very difficult thing for most of us. And that is obedience. Trust and obedience. The old song, trust and obey. The two go hand in hand. When we can bring ourselves to be obedient to God's word and His direction in our life, this is where real trust is developed in a relationship between God and one of His disciples. It's imperative that we be obedient to God if we desire His hand to be upon our life. It is wrong, ladies and gentlemen, for us to view God as this big vending machine in the sky. That when we slide in a coin or two, He's going to bring us His best. When we give Him nothing, when we give Him very little of who we are, and we expect His best time and time and time again, that's not a relationship. God wants a relationship with you. He wants a thriving, growing relationship with new revelation every day of your life. That is like having a genie in the bottle. I'm going to rub it, and maybe God will come out and He'll grant my wish. That's not a relationship. In order for us to fully trust God, I believe that we must fully live for Him. Living a life of obedience to His word and measuring ourselves in light of His righteousness. And then acknowledging Him, as the scripture says, in all of our ways, by professing a relationship with Him to others, living unashamedly for the Lord, and then, as the scripture says, watching as He makes our path straight. So this morning, I want to get into five areas that I think might help you. Five things to help us kick off this series that I believe are essential. These five things you've got to break through if you ever hope to have the kind of trust in God that I know that every one of us would really like to have. And the first one is this. Trusting in God is believing even when you don't see it. Have you ever had a house built? You see the plan. You see the architectural renderings, the floor layout, the elevations, all the drawings are done, and you get a clear image of how this new house is going to look, and it looks beautiful. But then you've got to trust this home builder, trust him that he has the capability of taking it from that plan and erecting this building and making it look like the architect intended for it to look. But you know, I found that real life 101 isn't like this at all, in that you don't always have a picture of what's going to happen. You don't have a plan of how things are going to end up. There always seems to be a measure of uncertainty when we are looking for things that are not yet visible to us. Amen? Clearly, the theme of our Christian walk can be summed up in 2 Corinthians 5:7, which says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." You see, in the life of a Christian, we believe in and we worship a God who we have not yet seen. We believe that we will live eternally in a place which we haven't seen either. So the good news is that we all have a measure of trust in God that we exercise when it comes to spiritual matters. The bad news, as I said earlier, is having selective trust or not being able to fully trust God in many of our basic everyday issues of life. And the result is this. We live in uncertainty because things we want to happen perhaps haven't happened yet. We've all prayed prayers that have yet to be answered. And in light of that, if we're not very, very careful, we can get cynical. And we can start to live in doubt and in fear. And then that little light that we're supposed to let shine to this world starts to dim. And people don't see the love of Christ in us. But in addition to all this, part of our human psyche is that we reject the idea of trusting anyone or anything but ourselves in the first place. We are a self-supporting kind of an individual. God has created us to be able to think we can do so many things. And so many of us, it goes to our head, and we think we can do all things. And we can't do all things without Christ who strengthens us. So the reality is that it is very hard to live by what we can't see. You know, truthfully, I'm the type of person that I like things in order. I like all my ducks lined up in a perfect little row. I don't generally like surprises. I like regularity. I like uniformity. I don't like not seeing where I'm going. I like a roadmap. But there's one thing that I have learned in my walk with Christ is rarely do I ever get a roadmap. It's all about trusting God throughout the entire journey, isn't it? You know, when God called me into the ministry, you talk about questions. I had them. I didn't just go without wrestling with God and asking Him a billion what ifs. But what if, God? But what if? He wanted me to leave a successful business that I was running, to go back to school, step completely out of my comfort zone, and I might add with a promise of nothing specific. He didn't come to me and say, if you'll do this, I'm going to give you this. He just said, be obedient and let's see what happens. Oh, He clearly called me. And if I hadn't responded, I shudder to think of how it would have turned out. But the point is that I was obedient to that call in the only way that I could. And that was through total trust and reliance upon God. That God would provide for my family. That I would be able to get back into that whole school thing after being out for a long, long time. That He would provide a place for me to minister. That He would use what minuscule amount of ability that I have to further His kingdom. And God has done all of that and He has done more. But it required me to believe in things that I could not yet see. And I look back on it now and I stand amazed at what He has accomplished in my life over the past 15 years. I finished Bible college with academic honors. I sold my business. And those funds allowed Lisa to be a stay-home mom because while all this was going on, she was pregnant with our daughter Brooke. I was hired by Pastor Tommy Barnett at Phoenix First Assembly. That was something that didn't even cross my radar screen. That would have been the farthest thing for ever happening to me than anything. It was absurd that I would be asked to serve on that staff. I'm a published author. I've been given opportunity to speak at men's ministry functions all over the country. And I've been provided the awesome opportunity to come and pastor this great church, Bethel Assembly. And I might add, I'm enjoying every minute of it. God has gone... Oh, that was not for a cheap clap, but thank you. God has gone far above what I have ever dreamed or what I've ever imagined in my work in the ministry. But it first took me taking that initial step and trusting Him completely. It required me to look far past what I could see to what I couldn't see. And to realize that God was in control of the situation and that if He truly called me, He wouldn't let me down. So step one in trusting is trusting God is believing what you can't yet see. Number two, trusting God is obeying even when you don't understand. Have you ever been there? Maybe God is directing you to take a step of faith into a totally new realm in your life. Perhaps He's called you into a new career, a new business venture, or into the ministry. Maybe He's prodding you to reestablish a broken relationship that's been over for a long, long time. You wrote this person out of your life, but now He wants you to reconnect. Maybe it's financial. Maybe God is calling you to increase your giving, and on paper it doesn't make sense to you at all, but yet it's what He's asking you to do. Perhaps God is calling you to give up something. Something that's been a very regular but yet unproductive part of your life. And you say, well, what's this all about, God? Why should I get rid of this? And God is saying, just trust me on this one. Just roll with me. There's something great coming. You know, our responses to these kinds of things are inevitably fear-based, aren't they? We worry about the fallout of taking a much-needed step for what God has called us to do. We ask questions like, well, what about my family? What about my work? What if I don't have the time? What if I don't have the resources? What if I just can't do it? Those are legitimate questions. We all ask those kinds of questions. You know, when God called Moses to deliver the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt, Moses didn't understand many things he was asked. God kind of gave him a big picture and said, I want you to set my people free. There were a billion questions Moses, I'm sure, had that he didn't have answered. And he asked questions like, why me, Lord? Who am I to lead these people? Who do I tell them sent me? These are just a few of the who's. What if the people don't believe me? He even threw out the I'm slow of speech. I couldn't possibly be your man for the job because I stutter. I can't really express myself well. And that's when God said, well, here, your brother Aaron will do it for you. Please, God, send somebody else. Send somebody other than me. Moses didn't ask for this assignment. He wasn't looking for it. And furthermore, he lacked a full understanding of exactly what God was going to use him for. But yet he was obedient to God's call. And there are people in this room today who are at the beginning of something new. You're entering a new season in your life, a new task, a new calling, a new trial, a new venture. Some of you may be in a brand new life with Christ and you're fearful. You're fearful. But like Moses, you've got to begin to fully trust God and not partially trust Him. Proverbs 29:25 tells us, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. All God is saying is, trust me. Don't fear. It's safe here with me. It may be a little bit daring at times, but you're safe with me. You may not know all the details, but I know all the details. And if you're obedient, and if you will fully trust me, you just wait and see what I have in store for you, because it'll be better than anything you could have ever conjured up in your mind. So always remember, trusting God is obeying, even when you don't understand. Number three, trusting God is giving what you don't want to lose. One area of trust that many struggle with is in the area of finances, in our stewardship. You see, being obedient in our tithe and offering goes far beyond what God promises in His Word about pouring out a blessing so big that we can't even contain it. I believe obedience in our finances helps us to establish trust in God in other areas of our life where we may lack trust in God. In other words, when we come to the point of being able to trust God with our money, which is such a big part of our life, and when we see that His Word is true and that He does bring provision, that He does bless us for our faithfulness, and we experience it, it allows us to trust God even more in other areas of our life. You see, like any relationship, trust takes time. Trust is developed in a relationship, and it's no different with God. As we mature in our faith, it becomes easier for us to trust Him more completely. As we see His promises fulfilled, and we become more open to complete trust, and ultimately, that is where every one of us should desire to be. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation. And in that promise, Abraham and Sarah, two elderly people, were promised they would have a son. And it took a long time for it to happen, but just as God promised, Isaac was born, and he was the joy of Abraham's life. Now, when Isaac was about 12 years old, God told Abraham he wanted him to sacrifice Isaac. It's important for you to understand that God never intended for Abraham to ever do this. First of all, God never demanded nor condoned child sacrifice, though it was a very common practice in the pagan world in those days. But our God never asked anybody to be sacrificed. Let's get that clear right now. He was simply testing Abraham's faith and trust in Him. And Abraham did so fully trust God that he actually had the knife raised above Isaac when God stopped him. And as he looked away, he saw a ram in the thicket. God provided a substitute for that sacrifice. But the point is that Abraham was willing to give his most precious gift, his long desired and sought after son, his very own promised son, because he trusted completely in God. He was willing to give what he had. So let me get back to this whole point that I started this point with about stewardship and finances. God is not asking us to sacrifice anything when we give of our finances to His kingdom work. Because as I've always said, you are nothing more than a steward anyway. We manage, or we are simply stewards over the financial blessings that we receive in this world. And if you don't believe that, and I say this a lot, but it's important, wait until you die. Because none of it goes with you. It stays right here. It was never yours to begin with. It was God's. So when we give, God is asking us to give what already belongs to Him. And our giving becomes an act of obedience to His word. It's something we do out of obedience, which, as I said earlier, obedience and trust go hand in hand. That's how the whole thing works. Here's the point again in all this. If you haven't been able to develop the kind of trust in God to give of some of your hard-earned resources, it might very well be the vehicle that God is going to use to open up within you a hyper-type trust in every aspect of your life. So remember, trusting God is often giving up that which you don't want to lose. Number four, trusting God is thanking Him before you even receive it. And this is an attitude that I believe God wants us to have as believers when we pray, because it is claiming victory even before the victory happens. It is acknowledging an answer to prayer before we see any evidence that the prayer has been answered. It's an exclamation of trust. We do not pray to an unwilling, uncaring, and unloving God. We pray to a heavenly Father who delights in His children, of which you are one. So when you not only ask, but you thank Him in advance, it bolsters your trust. I think back on Jericho and how God promised the city of Jericho to the children of Israel. It was a fortified city. It was impenetrable to anything that the Israelites had. They had no missile systems. They had no ways of bringing down the walls of that city. But God, just as He had done through the entire Exodus from Egypt, He gave them a plan that was totally unconventional. He said to them, march around the city walls for 7 days, and on the seventh day, march around the city 7 times, and then shout. And Joshua said, shout, for the Lord has given you this city. And when they shouted, the walls came down, and they took that city as was promised by God. And in looking at this story, it wasn't the shout that brought down the walls. It was God who brought down those walls supernaturally because of the shout. It happened once again due to their obedience. It was the shout of victory, even before they saw those walls come down, that was the expression of trust in God that allowed Him to supernaturally move on their behalf. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, His prayer was simple, and He started it by saying this, Father, I thank You that You have heard me. Jesus began this prayer by thanking God for hearing and answering His prayer long before Lazarus ever walked out of that tomb. So this is not some theory I'm talking about here. This is a way to pray as demonstrated by Jesus Himself. And it's an attitude of trust that God wants us to have whenever we approach Him about anything, with a confidence that He not only hears, but He desires to answer our prayers. Matthew 21:22 says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. It's laying claim to His promises in such a way that we can thank Him even before we receive. You see, anyone can thank God after the fact. That's called gratitude. And it is important and it is essential that we have gratitude in our life and that we show gratitude to God. But thanking Him in advance, that's the reliance that I'm talking about this morning. So trusting God is thanking Him even before you receive. And five, and the last one, is trusting God is believing you are deserving of His best. This is huge. I believe one of the greatest obstacles to trust is our attitude that we just don't measure up. We talked about this at length last week, how that many Christ followers have a severe identity crisis. We don't feel worthy. We don't feel like we deserve God's best. Somehow we still see ourselves in our old state and not as a new creation. Very often, Christians feel unworthy of everything that God has promised. And I'm not sure why this happens. I think sometimes it's a works-based mentality. We just don't feel like we've earned any of it. But I want to remind you today, you don't earn God's favor. You don't earn it. It comes with your decision to follow Jesus Christ. There are blessings. There are provision. There is privileges that come from being a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are loved and you are cherished beyond measure from a heavenly Father who desires to give you His very best. You don't earn this. It's just like your salvation. You couldn't possibly earn it. It is a priceless and a free gift from Almighty God, a God who truly wants to bless and provide for you and to take care of His children, again, of which you are one. I love the scripture found in Matthew chapter 7. It compares an earthly father's desire to bless his child to a heavenly father. Matthew 7, 9 through 11 says, "Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" God wants to bless you, period. He wants to direct your path. He wants to be your source. He wants you to completely trust Him in all things, because it is within that trust where He will show you things that you have never seen or you have never experienced before. It will be through trust where you will begin to live your life with a boldness, with a confidence, and with the assurance that everything is going to work out and that your paths will be made straight, even as I said earlier, when you don't understand it. All of us, every one of us in the modern day Church of Jesus Christ, have to quit putting limits on God due to our undeveloped faith and our limited human understanding. We're like that. We have a finite way of thinking, and we can't think outside of that box, and God is so much greater than we are. We have to quit acting like we couldn't possibly receive God's best because we're undeserving. We got to begin to see ourselves as God does, and that is a valued, a treasured, a desired child of God, and one who deserves the full attention of the Father, and who also benefits from the Father's vast resources and power and strength and mercies which are new every day, and blessings that can only come from our Creator. Psalm 31:19 says, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men." God has already laid up answers and blessings and goodness, and He is simply waiting for those who will dare to trust Him completely. Can I say that again? God already has laid up answers and blessings and goodness, and He is simply waiting for people who dare enough to trust Him completely. But that's never going to happen until you step out and until you take a risk, until you quit living life in that safe little cocoon that you've built around your life. It's very comfortable. It's very cozy. It doesn't demand much of you. There's not very high expectations. I'm very comfortable here. Leave me alone. Let me go on with my life. I just want to stay in this little bitty cocoon. It won't happen until you believe you are deserving of God's best. And you know, the funny thing about trusting God is it's kind of like a catch-22 in that you never know you will be able to trust Him until you take that step of faith and literally trust Him in a situation in your life and watch that He is trustworthy. You see, in my life, I hit rock bottom. Anybody else ever been in rock bottom? I had nowhere to go but up. The enemy had me bound up, and he had me so defeated. And when I cried out to Jesus, He saved me. And He completely turned my life around. I love that song, Amazing Grace, and I love the words in it that says, "He saved a wretch like me," because I so completely fit that description of a wretch. You see, when you are a mess, like I was, and Jesus Christ cleans you up and He delivers you from stuff you never thought you could be set free from, trust in Him becomes easy because of the work you've already seen done in your life as a result of the cross. And yet, for the life of me, I don't understand why, for some, their transformed life in Christ, for whatever reason, just isn't enough. And if that describes you today, you got to put yourself in a position to submit to God and to submit to His purposes for your life. In other words, you got to get out of God's way. We are like a governor on an engine. You ever rented a U-Haul and go down the freeway and try to go over 55 miles an hour? You can't, because they've engineered it. I don't know if they call them governors anymore. That was when they had carbureted engines. I'm sure it's electronic now. But you can't exceed that 55 or 58 miles an hour. Doesn't matter how hard you try. And that's the way we are with God. We have this built-in governor that prevents us from allowing God to truly do a work in our life. We've got to learn to stand upon His Word. His Word never lies. It never contradicts. And at some point, we've got to lay it all on the line before God Almighty and allow Him the opportunity to prove to you that He can be trusted, because there is no one, there is no thing that can be trusted more than Almighty God. You know, I don't know what's going on in your life today. You could be riding a wave of contentment and blessing like you never have been before, and I say that's awesome. God bless you. Or you may be involved in one of the most trying times of your life at this very moment as I speak. Perhaps during this recession, you've been devastated financially. Maybe your health is in decline. Maybe your marriage is hanging on by a thread. Maybe your relationship with your family has deteriorated. It's been severely damaged. Maybe you haven't worked for so long that you wonder if employment will ever come your way again. On the other hand, maybe God is clearly calling you to do something, to step out of your comfort zone, to reach way beyond whatever you've attempted before. And truthfully, that scares you to death. Those are all examples of things you may be dealing with, and they are difficult and they are foreign to you because you're not sure you can deal with it. You're not sure you can handle it. And it's exactly during these times when you're not sure that you can do it, or when you're not sure you can handle a situation, when real trust in God is developed. And as you learn to live your life in obedience to God's word, you will learn He can be trusted for everything, for every trial, for every need, for every dream, for every task, for every calling, for every decision you need to make. You may not always understand why you are facing the things that you're facing, the difficulties that you're dealing with, but please understand this. If you never went through life without difficulties or challenges whatsoever, how will trust ever be developed in the first place? I believe that reliance upon God more often comes through adversity. It comes through challenges. It comes through waiting on God's best. And we are an impatient bunch of people. We don't often wait for God's best, but we'll get in His way and we'll accept second best. And as I look back on my life and I think about the tough times, I think about the times when I didn't understand. I think about the times when I wondered if God was even there. Those were the times that I have found that God was working behind the scenes on my behalf. And as I survey it now, with a much clearer perspective, I can honestly say to you that everything that has occurred had a blessing attached to it. You can't see it at the moment. Sometimes it takes you years for you to see it and to understand it. But you can clearly see how God has His hand upon you and how He has protected you and how He has provided for you, even in these times that you perceive as bad. You see, I believe everything in this life happens for a reason and happens for a purpose. Sometimes it is a learning experience. Sometimes it is designed for your own spiritual maturity. Sometimes it serves to open your eyes to see past your own selfishness. At times, things happen to break your strong-headed will. It's true. We're a strong-headed bunch of people. We get set in a certain way, and it's hard to break outside of that. And sometimes things happen to us to simply humble us, to knock us down a peg or two. But I believe more than ever, it is during these real life experiences that we must rely upon God, because it truly is a matter of trust. Scott, if you guys want to come forward, we're going to help me close this down. I want to end this week by reading, not singing, some lyrics to a song that I remember singing as a young boy called Trust and Obey. It says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That song really does sum up the connection between obedience and full trust in God, and what is promised to those who are obedient and who trust God. The two are inseparable. The next several weeks, we are going to look at trusting God through a variety of circumstances. When God is silent, when you're going through a storm, even trusting God for victory in your life. And through it all, I hope that it helps to create within all of you a greater trust in God. Because I want all of you to experience what that song says. The favor He shows, the joy He bestows, are for those who truly trust and obey. You know, as we've been speaking about trust this morning, there may be someone in this place today or several people in this place today who have never taken that first step of trust and reached out to God. You've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You've never received His free gift of salvation. You've heard all this information this morning on trusting God, and there's a hunger to begin living your life trusting in God and to quit simply trusting in yourself. Because trusting in yourself has gotten you into trouble. You've made some bad choices, and as sin always does, you continue to pay for that sin long after it occurs. And this is until you learn to reconcile all of that at the cross of Jesus Christ. And as you sat here, something inside of you has welled up and you feel like you have a desire to change. You're tired of living life the same way that you've always lived it. And you want change. Well, the first step to trusting in God is to ask Jesus into your life. The Bible says that you must believe in your heart and you must confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to this earth in the form of a man, and He died on the cross, and with His shed blood, He covered your sins. He atoned for your sins, and by asking and receiving Him into your life, you now can have eternal life with Christ. And as always, I want to give people the opportunity at any service at this place to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is what church is all about. Getting people to see their lives changed and committing their life to Christ and watching what a new life as a new creation in Christ is all about. So, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. And if you sincerely pray this prayer, if you mean it with your heart, God will come into your heart and He will make a change. And you can start down this path called Christianity. And we as a church want to be here to help you in this walk. I want everyone in this place to repeat these words with me to encourage those who truly need to pray them. I want you to pray them out loud and strong. Heavenly Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. And I thank You for Jesus. That He died on the cross for me. I'm tired of living life my way. I want to start living it Your way. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my trespasses. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Strengthen me to live a life that honors You. I want to fully trust You. I want to fully believe in You. And I give You the lordship over my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, in front of you, if you're in the balcony, they're on the ledge of the balcony, we have a Get Connected card. If you would take the time to fill that out, I'll make contact with you this week. And we would love to get you involved at this church, get you involved in being alongside some fellow believers who can help you and encourage you in your daily Christian walk. So please take the time to fill that out. You can drop it at the table. We have a couple free gifts for you if you do that, kind of as a way of saying thank you for coming. And whether you've prayed that prayer and you're just visiting us, you're also welcome to receive one of those gifts. I want to thank you all for being here. Why don't you stand to your feet? You've been sitting this whole time. I've been standing. It's only fair that you stand. I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you as we depart this place. And then hopefully you'll give me time to shoot down that aisle, folks, so I can get out and greet people as they leave. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your men and women here today. I thank You for their faithfulness to You. I thank You for their faithfulness to the house of God. I ask that Your blessings would be upon them as they leave this place today. Let Your Holy Spirit go with them as they trust and rely upon You fully. Father, pray that You would make their path straight. Father, we pray for a hyper-type trust for You to build and instill within us towards You. For us to truly believe that through You, all things can be accomplished and there is nothing that You cannot do on our behalf. So we give our lives to You. I pray Your blessings upon them. Strengthen them as they leave this place. Let them go out of here being beacons of light to this community so that people can see them and say, that's the way I want to live. That's the way that I want to believe. And that's the way I want to trust. Let everything that their hands touch this week prosper. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We'll see you tonight.